they admit that you don't tame lions. You can't make pets out of them. What you do is you get them acclimated to your presence, and then you sneak up on them, kind of, I guess, and associate with them that way. You remember Siegfried and Roy and the thing that happened to one of them at one of their shows. Most people remember that. You remember the movie Born Free about the people that raised the lion cubs? Do you know what happened to those lion cubs? When they got to be adults, they waited a couple of years, and they decided to have lunch, and they dined on her. They ate the woman who raised them, the one that popularized all that stuff about lions being pets and stuff. They ate her. Gary Johnson was telling me, and I guess Jay was present, about going on a tour in South Africa with, or down there, anywhere south of the equator, South Africa to me. But anyway, and hearing the story about the people on the tour, they found a lion kill, where a lion had killed a gazelle or something, and was eating, and they wanted to stop and take pictures, but they were kind of far away. Well, one of the fellows decided that he wanted to get a little bit closer, and he didn't want the top of the car or the door getting in the way and all that. So he thought if he could just get out of the car and stand next to the car, he could take a better picture of the lion. Now, I know what that's like because I take a lot of pictures from inside my car, and it doesn't satisfy me, so I get out of the car and take pictures. But I am not going to be eaten by an aspen tree. I don't think. But anyway, and what happened? He heard a twig break behind him, this fella did. And the next thing you know, he's being eaten by a lion. Lions you have to take serious. You have to take wild animals seriously. You cannot domesticate a wild animal. You think you can. And it may appear that they are domesticated, and they may just have plenty and prefer that to having to kill you. But make no mistake, if it comes down to it, your lunch. Reminds me of the fellow that kept the python in an aquarium. There's a 12-foot python. You know how long 12 feet is? This is a big snake. And he kept it in a great big aquarium. And he came home one day, and the lid was off the aquarium. He's got to find the snake. So he looks, and it's under the bed. And he starts talking to it, sweet-talking, stroking it. Well, what is a snake? You know, snakes don't hear anyway. Snakes do not have an auditory sense. They feel vibrations with their tongue, but it's not the same thing as hearing. And that snake wrapped himself around his owner. I mean, he was a pet. After all, he was hugging the guy coming home. No. Tried to swallow him, but he found the guy hard to swallow, so that he killed him. Squeezed him to death. In Texas, it squoze to death. But anyway, we have the wrong idea, don't we? So what better picture that can God present of Satan than a hungry lion? In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Now, he wasn't saying that the devil's after people. He was saying the devil's after you. He wants you. Now, the question is, are you going to expose yourself to the devil? If you do, you will be eaten. And it's going to be worse than being eaten, friends. The lion roars to instill fear into its prey. I'm convinced Satan should be feared even more than the lion. I remember watching this YouTube deal where these guys were hunting a lion, and the lion had been wounded. And all they had is high-powered rifles. And the lion had blood, his own blood that he was tasting, and he was hiding in the bush. And all of a sudden, one of the porters says, "Look out!" And that lion charged out of the bush, and everybody shot, and the lion died with his paw on the one guy's foot. Too close, too close. If the lion can reach you, he can kill you. But Satan is worse. Satan cannot reach us unless we allow him to. And the problem is we like to play. We like to play with Satan, and so we do that. Now, who's most likely to be devoured by Satan? Well, that's what the subject of the lesson is this morning. First of all, those who are alone and separated from the flock. Lions work the periphery, that is, the edges of the herd, looking for animals that are kind of nonconformists, walking off by themselves. Now, in the summer camps I've had, we've always had kids that were kind of antisocial. And they're always in trouble because they were antisocial. They'll always be away from the group. They didn't want to participate or anything. And they're always in trouble. A lot of it was not of their own making, but they were there. And they were convenient. An animal gets away from the herd, and the lion's got him. Now, who are some of these people? Well, those who are caught up in the world's affairs. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, where Paul says to Timothy, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier on service entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enrolled him as a soldier." Some of us have too many irons in the fire. We've got too many things going on to do what God wants us to do. Friends, can you be too busy to be a Christian? How many times have I gone to see people who hadn't come to services for years? Some of them before I even moved to the congregation where I was working. And they said, "When I get this done," or "When I'm finished with this," or "When..." You know, Jesus had the same conversation at the end of Luke chapter 9. Paul had the same conversation with Felix. It never is that convenient season. And the Lord will not be put off. But neither will the devil. Now, some people are not all that busy, but they just don't have a lot to do with their brethren. Not interested in the social interaction, maybe because they don't like their brethren, or maybe because they have another circle of friends or something. And this is something that we've been dealing with in the lives of a couple of people lately. Is you're going to have to leave the planet. You have to get out of the world that you're living in. You have to say goodbye to everybody, even those you love, because they're pulling you down. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 says, "Be not deceived, evil companionships corrupt good morals." Well, if evil companionships corrupt good morals, what does association with Christians do? What if they're good companionships? What if they're godly people? It's going to lift you up. In Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 16, Paul says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. In love of the brethren, be tenderly affectioned one to another, in honor preferring one another. In diligence, not slothful, fervent in spirit, so serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, communicating to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you, and bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Set not your mind on high things, but condescend to the things that are lowly. Be not wise in your own conceits." Be humble, especially with reference to your brethren. And give them a special place. Why? Because you believe the same thing. What you are striving for in your life is the same thing. You want to go to heaven, don't you? Isn't that the most important thing? What's the most important thing to me? Did you know you can help me get to heaven? I might be able to help you. I don't know. But I think that you can help me. I think a lot of you have already helped me in my journey to heaven. And that's the most important thing that we've got going for ourselves. And I don't want to be with somebody who is going to distract me while I'm on that journey. Somebody's going to pull me down. Now, here is a news bulletin. Sometimes you have to be selective in the church, because from time to time there'll be somebody in the church who will pull you down, who is not convicted, who is not living the way that they should. You be careful, because the lion's liable to be just about anywhere. Sometimes he gets in the house. Some of you have seen that movie, The Ghost in the Darkness. If you haven't seen it, don't watch it. You won't be able to sleep for a month. And lions come into these people's houses and huts and drag them out, and you can hear them chewing. It's awful. True story. They got in the hospital. Ate everybody in the hospital. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is. Provoke one another into love and good works. How can we do that? Well, sometimes the only opportunity that we have is when we worship together. So we need to be together. Now, you remember the story of Peter when he betrayed Jesus? The devil got him. The lion got him. It was dragging him away till the rooster crowed. And somehow he got loose and got away. But the lion had him. Where was he? Luke 22, verse 54. And they seized him, that is Jesus, and led him away and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the court, and he had sat down together, Peter sat in the midst of them. There are some situations that where you cannot avoid association with ungodly people. And when I say ungodly people, I'm not saying that you should be rude or crude or impolite or mean to them. But just recognize the influence they have in your life. You people are working for a living. You go to a shop where there's a lot of cursing, and maybe there's one of those pin-up calendars, and people have a bit low regard for others, especially those of the opposite gender. You know that affects you. And you have to be especially careful. Parents need to be careful where they send their kids to school. Some places, they teach immorality. And you got to be careful. If you go where the devil is, the devil's going to get you. Stay off away from the racetracks. Don't go to the casinos. Stay out of the bars. You notice I didn't say don't drink. I said stay out of the bars so that you won't be tempted to drink, and then don't drink. How many lives has that ruined? I've had the discussion so many times recently over whether alcohol or marijuana is the worst. They're both bad. Who cares which one is worse? Both of them are just a little garnishment for the lion's lunch. Okay? Just stay away from both of them. Don't have that argument. Make it irrelevant. Where did Peter go for the devil to get him? He went with the people who were the enemies of the Lord. Where are you? Where are you? Those who are weak are the prey of the lion. Healthy animals are harder to catch. So one that's been wounded or one that is sick, lion will take that. You know, lions are, they'll do what it takes to eat. And don't kid yourself. they're powerful and they're faster than you are. There's no way. If he's got his eyes set on you, unless you have a high-powered rifle, if you've got a friend that does, or you've got something to jump into and close the door, he's going to kill you. But if you're sick, he likes that, because lions, even as powerful and swift as they are basically kind of lazy. They can hardly wait to get their stomach full so they can go take their nap. Again, sounds like me on Sunday afternoon. But the unsound are, or unhealthy are, those who are easy prey for the lion. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, "This testimony is true, for which cause reprove them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." Up in verse 9, he says, "Holding to the faithful word, which is according to teaching, that he may be able both to exhort in the sound or healthy doctrine, and to convict the gainsayers." There's a connection here between those who are sound or healthy and sound or healthy doctrine. Now, I have never been a health food nut. I've never been given to that sort of a thing. And no, that's not, I'm not paying the price for that now. I could be, but I'm not. One of the few in my family that doesn't tend toward diabetes. Or I probably would have died from it a long time ago. But you know, if you never eat any vegetables, I know some people never eat any vegetables. They get big and fat, sloppy fat. They have other problems that we won't talk about. And their disposition may be jolly as long as nothing goes wrong. But it's not good for them. They don't live very long, or as long as they could. And we've become very concerned with our physical diets. Well, why can't we be concerned with the sound doctrine, the sound teaching? Especially with reference to the churches we attend, the congregations that we support. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3, it says, "If any man teacheth a different doctrine and consenteth not to healthy words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness," and what Paul is saying there is that what we have been teaching is from Jesus, and it's healthy. When it comes from somewhere else, it's not healthy. So stay away from it. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter 2 and verses 1 and 2, where Peter says, "Putting away therefore all wickedness and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes long for the spiritual milk which is without guile," the King James Version says, probably more correctly, "the sincere milk of the word," the food, the proper diet has its basis in the scripture. Sound doctrine produces sound Christians. The word sound there being healthy and strong. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, "For when by reason of the time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of solid food." I've got a very close friend right now who's refusing to eat. Begging her to eat. Because they know if she doesn't eat, she will die. She still won't eat. How many of us are undernourished? How many of us are starving to death because we won't eat? We won't study. Again, 1 Timothy, this time chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. First Timothy chapter 1 and verses 9 through 11, "As knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless, unruly, and the ungodly, and the sinners, for the unholy and the profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for abusers of themselves with men, for men stealers, for liars, for false swearers, and if there be any other thing contrary to the sound doctrine. Well, we understand the need for sound doctrine when we read this passage, don't we? According to the gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, people who throw off the sound doctrine throw off restraint. And when they want to do something, they do not regard right or wrong. They do it. That may be an explanation for many people's behavior. Again, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, putting away therefore all wickedness and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, before we begin to benefit from that diet that we need, we need to put off certain things that contribute to unhealthy growth. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. We'll talk about perspective. Now, there Peter says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore of sound or a healthy mind. Be sober unto prayer. You know, I talk about perspective from time to time, and it's important for us to understand that a similar perspective is possible. In fact, unity in perspective is desired by the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 says, now I beseech you, brethren, through the name of our Lord Jesus, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfected together in the same mind and the same judgment. This idea of being perfected together in the same mind, the same judgment, has to do with the way you look at things, your point of view. An unhealthy perspective is one that dwells on the past and is rooted in where we came from. Because your chain is just so long, friends, you need to move down the road just a little bit every day. What do we watch? What do we look for? What is our goal? To go back to the good old days? What did Jesus say? He says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Our perspective is not based on where we are from, our race, our national origin, our gender, our education, our economic level. Our perspective is based on where we want to end up, and that makes us different from everybody. I'm going somewhere. And I intend to get there. I'll do what I have to. Not everybody shares that with me. Not everybody understands it. But this is what Paul says in that regard in Colossians 3. If then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above. You know what it means to set your mind? Fix it in your head. Let this be your preoccupation. I wish John Paul was here. We could illustrate it real well. He'd make up his mind when he was younger and still is a little bit like this, that he wants something. And he goes after it. And he won't let it go. You ever known a kid like that? It's because his perspective was very goal-oriented. He's very goal-oriented, very success. Well, I wouldn't say success-oriented, because sometimes his goals don't involve success for him. Sometimes it involves something else. But when he wants them, he goes after it, and he fixates on it. And that's what it means to set your mind. Set your mind on the things that are above, where Christ is, and not upon the things that are upon the earth. Make up your mind you're going to go to heaven, and let that be your preoccupation. And let that include taking everybody that will go with you in 1 Timothy I don't have the chapter there. That should be chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8. Paul says, but refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself unto godliness. For bodily exercise is profitable for a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life which now is and that which is to come. In order to achieve soundness, we've got to exercise. We've got to put into practice the things that we believe, the things that we learn from the Scriptures. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. The writer of Hebrews says, but solid food is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. How do you do that? How do you exercise that? When you get up in the morning, you pray for strength and wisdom. And you'll be making some decisions throughout the day. And every time you make a decision, you ask yourself the question, what does God want me to do here? What is God's will? And then you make a conscious decision and effort to do what God has revealed in the Scriptures, because that's where you're going to find the answer to that question, what does God want me to do? And after a while, it'll become second nature to you. But it won't become second nature to you when you're first baptized. And it may take 20 or 30 years. There's some things I still have some difficulty with, and so I still practice. I still practice. A couple of passages worth considering. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. It says, there watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Stand in the faith, quit you like men, act like a man. Be responsible for your life and for the outcome of your life. Because God has given you everything you need to go to heaven. And if you don't go, and then in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 14, and we exhort you, brethren, admonish the disorderly, encourage the faint-hearted, support the weak, be long-suffering toward all. Not everybody's going to have your level of maturity. So be helpful. Okay, the lion finds prey among those who are slow. Among the lion's prey are the quick and the dead. Sometimes people are spiritually slow. When I say that, I don't mean that they're not as bright. What I mean is, there's no rush. Luke chapter 8 and verse 14 talks about the parable of the sower. Jesus explains it. He talks about those who fell among the thorns. These are they that have heard, and as they go on the way, they are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to fruition. They always intend to do the right thing, but they never get around to it. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, Hebrews 12 and verse 1, the writer says, therefore let us also, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. One of the things that I've had to learn in traveling, when I get in my car and travel, I can take just about anything I want. But when I'm flying on an airplane, I try to get everything in a backpack and my briefcase. Because if you take any more than that, you're taking too much. We spent a week in New York City with what we could put in a backpack. Those khaki pants were a little wrinkled when we unrolled them to go to services, but hey, we made it. Didn't wear a tie that night. Ties have a tendency not to unwrinkle. But anyway, this is the way we go through life. I remember when Paige came out here from Kentucky one time, supposedly on vacation. She had enough suitcases to put everything in Dillard's in them. And I said, what's this? She says, well, I don't know how long I'm staying. Oh? And she stayed. It was her intent all along. But see, if she was just coming for the prescribed 2 weeks, she just needed half one what she had in one of those suitcases. So here we are trying to make the hardest, most difficult journey we can possibly make. And we just stacked up to here with junk. What we need to do is concentrate on getting there and not taking a bunch of stuff we don't need with us. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, the writer is about to talk about Melchizedek. He says, of whom we have many things to say and hard of interpretation, seeing you become dull of hearing. For when by reason of the time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God and have become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. Well, it's just slow in development, not in any big hurry to learn anything. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. Look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. What does he mean, the days are evil? They fly by. So make the best use of your time. Literally, buy back the time. But how? How do you do that? By doing what you know you need to do now. Get busy. Wherefore, be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then we all know 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Study. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, Romans 12 and verse 11, Paul says that in we have diligence and not be slothful, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. In other words, we'd act like we kind of sort of maybe enjoy it. And sometimes we're very slow to make up our minds about where we're going to stand on something. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21 says, and Elijah came near unto all the people and said, how long go ye limping between the two sides? If Jehovah be God, follow him. Baal, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. We have come to several crises in the brotherhood, and for the most part, people haven't answered a word. People are allowed to teach just about anything, and nobody answers them. It's just met by silence. As long as we all are together, then it doesn't make any difference, I guess. Well, the prey of the lion also includes the careless and the foolish. Lambs and calves do not pay any attention, so they're usually grabbed pretty quick. You know, it's kind of funny. You go out on the range out here and you see all the cattle, and the adult cattle kind of do what they can to avoid you, but the little bitty calves, they come over and look, and as soon as they discover you looking back, they run to mama. But they got to come over for a closer look first. If I was a lion, I'd have them. So maybe our biggest problem is that we don't pay much attention. We are not careful about what we're doing. Hebrews chapter 2, that doesn't look like the passage I want, but we'll look at it and see anyway. Hebrews chapter 2, well, no, it's what it says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that were heard. Give the more earnest heed. Pay attention. Listen. Lest happily we drift away from them. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And the answer is we can't. Most people, when they fall away, don't just say, I quit, and walk off. What they do is they get involved in something they don't realize the consequence of it, and before long, it's impossible for them to get loose. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, again, we have this word, these words, take heed, brethren, pay attention, lest haply there should be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. But exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Now, we made the comparison a lot of times between getting into sin, just kind of dabbling in it, and kind of dabbling in bucket of wet cement with your toes. If you step into a bucket of wet cement in Arizona in June, what happens? It hardens around your foot. You can't get your foot out. Well, you can, but you won't like it. How do you get your foot out? With a hammer. You got a, or a chisel. No, not me. But anyway, people carelessly get involved in things that they can't get out of. They don't realize how deep they are. And their pride won't turn loose of them. Another passage. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. It says, look therefore carefully how ye walk, not as unwise, but as wise. King James says, walk therefore circumspectly. This means the same thing. There's no difference in the meaning at all. But the idea of walking circumspectly, circum means around, carries with it that idea, inspectly, you know, you inspect, you look. Look around before you put your foot down. Now, I've talked about stepping on gum in the parking lot. And why do you step on gum in the parking lot? You don't watch where you put your feet. Don't say it's because some moron has thrown the gum out in the middle of the parking lot. That's not why you step in it. Not everybody steps in that gum. But there you have it all over your shoe. Somebody said, oh, I've heard that so many times. An individual who made that remark to me. I was getting in my car and I looked out across the parking lot and there she was. This is what she was doing. And whatever she had stepped in was about as pink as you could get. It was bubble gum. I asked her if it was good. No. But be careful where you put your feet. Be careful what you get involved in. In James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, James says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempteth no man, but each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then the lust, when it is conceived, beareth sin, and the sin, when it is full grown, bringeth forth death. You know what's a temptation to you. How do you stay out of the mouth of the lion? You stay away from the temptation. I know what tempts me. There was a preacher who announced to the world that he would no longer be on the internet. Why? Because it was a temptation to him. I'm not going to explain the temptation, but you probably can guess. And so he hadn't been on, that was 15 years ago, and he hadn't been on the internet since. Staying away from the temptation. Oh, but you can't function without the internet. Well, you had better stink and learn how. When they blow up that thing above the sky, you know, just above us, and it shuts all the electricity off and destroys all the computers and everything. If you can't get along without your computer, too bad for you. I'm supposed to hold a meeting at Gilbert in 2 weeks. I have been very seriously contemplating not taking PowerPoint. Connie Adams, I told you this before, you got to hear it again, but he got up at Glendale and said, I'm going to preach a PowerPoint sermon tonight, and everybody nearly fell over because he'd been talking about how he didn't like it. He said, I'm going to write some powerful things on the board and I'm going to point at it. I thought that was pretty good. So if the internet is a source of temptation, get rid of it. Get rid of your smartphone. Get rid of anything that might expose you to that, because it's not worth going to hell. Is it? Is it? Flee the devil, or resist the devil, and he'll flee from you, James 4 and verse 8. Sometimes we get a little bit big for our britches and we say, well, it bothers other people, it won't bother me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, what does he say? Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And then 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I've never seen a lion kill, at least where they were eating still. And I've never seen an individual attacked by a lion. But listen, I don't want any part of it. I don't want any part of it, especially when I'm the victim. There's a lion waiting. And the question is he waiting for you? He is. Are you going to be the next victim? I hope not. There may be somebody here this morning who's not been baptized into Christ. You need to be baptized. But when you're baptized, you understand there's more to it than that. You're beginning a new life that God has ordered for you, not only to make your life better, but also to glorify His name and His Son. And you need that life. You need it. I've seen too many people who didn't have access to that life because they had never obeyed the gospel. If you haven't been baptized, let's take care of it. My friend that's got the cancer, dying from it, diagnosed too late. You're going to be diagnosed too late? If you have been baptized but you haven't been living right, get straightened out now. It's not too late for you. Don't wait till stubbornness overcomes you and you get hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You get used to not doing what you're supposed to do, because you can't get over that sometimes without a complete, total remaking of the inner man. Maybe that's what's needed. I've done it myself several times. If we can help you in either one of those things, please come to the front while we stand and sing.